morning, church. Good morning. On behalf of Newport-on-Tee Church of Scotland and all of us seated here, members of the church, I would like to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while, and also to acknowledge those who are worshiping via Zoom and those who will be listening to our church service afterwards from our website. After the service, we are all invited to go for teas and coffees and cakes and biscuits, I've been told, in our church hall, and to find time to chat around with others. Today is the 3rd of November 2024, in the year of our Lord, and it is the second to the last month of the year. And I'm sure that we have come to church this morning reflecting about what has gone and what is still to come. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, 127.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this new day, for the rest and renewal of the night, and for the light that shines upon us now. You are the one who watches over us as we sleep, who brings morning with new mercies, and who fills our hearts with love and hope. We praise you for the promise of your presence and for the gift of the Holy Spirit among us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place and kindle in us the joy of true worship. Unite us in friendship and fellowship, that we may worship with open hearts, and bless us, O Lord, with the abundance of your grace, fulfilling your promises in our lives. May we worship you in spirit and in truth, bringing all of ourselves before you with gratitude and praise. Dear Father, as we stand before you, we acknowledge our need for your mercy. Your word calls us to live as citizens of heaven, yet we confess that we are often more attached to the ways of this world. We desire peace, yet we sometimes choose conflict. We yearn for purity, but our hearts are easily distracted. Like those in Micah's day, we long for the fulfillment of your kingdom, but often struggle to live by its values. Lord, we confess that we have not always walked in your ways. Forgive us, merciful Father, for the times we have chosen self-interest over compassion and earthly comfort over heavenly purpose. As Paul reminded the Philippians, our true citizenship is in heaven, yet we confess that our lives sometimes tell a different story. Forgive us for our impatience, for our misplaced priorities, and for the times we have not loved as you call us to love. Restore us, O Lord, to the vision you have for us as your people. Create in us clean hearts and renew steadfast spirits within us. Help us to live as reflections of your kingdom, filled with compassion, humility, and peace. We ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. 458, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Thank you. Have our wonderful children come up to the front, please. Our young people will join us in a little minute. Okay. How's everybody feeling this morning? Is anybody tired? Any adults tired? Yeah. Everybody I seem to talk to who's an adult seems to say I could have done with a couple more hours in bed this morning. I definitely feel the same way. But don't worry, I've got a remedy to fix our tiredness this morning. For everybody, I can tell you that. But in today's service, our incredible mums, dads, grands, granddads, and all the adults are looking at the kingdom of God and how we should be living here on earth. And Paul wrote in a letter to the church something like this. Who would like to open this and read it? Anyone, do you want to come up? Now, I need you to read it into the mic, is that okay?
To the church, join together in following my example. Brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. From Paul.
Thank you. You can grab a seat now. So, follow me and keep an eye on those who live as we do. In another translation of the Bible, it says, keep on imitating me. It got me thinking, imitating me, long and hard, about how we could demonstrate this for you guys. And then it came to me, let's play a game, which the winner will receive a prize, by the way. Yes, and we're looking for a big, massive game, so that means there's a prize for the adults too. So our young people, can you come out to the front, please? Our young people are going to be helping me judge this game, and I can guarantee you all know what game I'm going to play. Simon Says? All heard about it before? Have you guys heard about Simon Says before?
Yeah.
So what the way Simon Says works, if I say Simon Says, touch your head, you all touch your head. If I say Simon Says, touch your shoulders, you touch your shoulders. If I say touch your knees, you don't touch your knees. Why not, Jacob? You're right. I didn't. So is everyone in agreement of what we're going to do? Everyone happy with this? We're going to start now, yeah? So let's stand up. Stand up. And everyone who stood up has just lost the game, so you can sit back down again because I never said Simon Says. Okay, all right. Okay, any children left? Any children left? I'll give the children a wee bye, okay? Are we ready? Everyone else who didn't stand up, you're still in the game. Well done. Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, sit down. Oh, come on. Loads of you. Come on. There's a prize. I'm expecting as much audience participation as I can. Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, stand up. Sit down. Out. Definitely out. Yes, I saw you. Okay. Can you keep judging? Is that right? Okay. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your head. Simon Says, touch your ears. Touch your mouth. You're out. Simon Says, touch your mouth. Simon Says, touch your shoulders. Simon Says, touch knees. Simon Says, touch toes. Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, spin around. Stop. Y'all who stopped. Sit down, Lewis. You stopped as well. You definitely stopped. Sit down. Okay. Simon Says, stop. Don't worry, okay? Who's still left in with adults? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, only 5 left, adults-wise. Okay, right, we're going to get quicker. Right. Simon Says, touch shoulders. Simon Says, touch knees. Simon Says, touch toes. Simon Says, touch knees. Simon Says, touch shoulders. Simon Says, touch your head. Touch shoulders. Oh, okay, man, okay. 3 left of the adults, 5 left of the kids. Okay. Well, you're definitely out. Okay, right. Okay, Simon Says, rub your stomach. Simon Says, tap your head. Simon Says, do both at the same time. Stop. He's definitely stopped. You definitely stopped too. Okay, any adults? Okay, Simon Says, stop, don't worry. Okay, Simon Says, give the person next to you a high five. Simon Says, fist bump. High five. Oh, Chris, you're out. Chris, you're out. Okay, 2 left, Christine and Claire. Okay, I think the adults are doing really well. Should we go one more round?
Yeah.
Yeah, one more round, okay. Let's think of it quickly. Simon says, clap your hands. Oh, thanks for the round of applause. Appreciate it. I've done really well this morning. Thank you, thank you. Simon says, clap your hands. Simon says, wave. Clap your hands. Out. Out. Okay. You're out as well, said Nancy. So we've got two winners left. And don't worry, adults, there's a prize for you too, because you're the last two as well. Here you go. Nice wee prize. Nice wee prize. Okay, thank you, guys. Can you grab a seat? Now, what's the point of all this? What's the point of the prize? Paul is saying to follow his example, because they are the ones who have met Jesus, who spoke with him, experienced God in ways that we can only imagine. And they're teaching others about who Jesus was, who he is, and who he is to come. And we, in turn, should follow their lead and listen to what they are teaching us through the Bible. Now, sometimes people can say the right things, but are not Christians. And that's why we say, keep your eyes on it. Hence the game of Simon Says. If you just followed what I was doing, some of you just went straight out. I was doing touch your nose instead of saying, Simon Says, touch your nose. But the more we spend time with Jesus, learning off the people who are Christians, learning off the people from the Bible, the more we experience his love, his grace, and the more we change inside, and we get a prize at the end of it. Does anybody know what that prize is?
Gummy bears.
Not gummy bears, but they're really good and they're really tasty, aren't they? They're really good and they're really tasty, aren't they? There's something even better that we get. And that is, we become citizens of heaven. That means if we follow Jesus, we become God's children and we get to live with him forever in a place where there's no more pain, where broken wrists, or cut heads, or dizziness, or sore ears, or sore mouths. None of that. There'll be no tears, and we're all praising God forever. How cool is that? It's amazing, isn't it? And all we need to do is follow Jesus, and we get that prize. Pretty good, right? Pretty difficult, but pretty good nonetheless. Cool. Shall we pray? Let's pray, guys. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you for people like Paul and Silas and Peter and all these other amazing people in the Bible. He teaches us so many amazing things. We pray as we move on from today, we ask you, fill us up with the Holy Spirit. Help us to experience your love and your grace more each day. And help us to change, to become more like you, to become more like people who are following you. And we pray we'll be able to share your love and grace with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we sing a song, I'd like to just plug a wee thing that Jane and I and a few other leaders are doing. In the notices you may have read, we're looking for volunteers for a Tuesday morning. Now, I know some of you work, and I'm not expecting it, but Jane and I go into the school every year. We do, for the primary fives, we're doing a Christmas morning where we're going to teach the kids the true meaning behind Christmas and get rid of all the fluff that we see in the stores. How many of you been into a store this week and got completely engulfed with Christmas stuff? I walked into a home base earlier this week and there was like 10, 15 Christmas trees all rolling up. I was like, oh my goodness, this is too much already. But we get rid of all that fluff and we teach the meaning of what Christmas is all about for Christians. And then in January to March, Jane and I go in, and for the primary sixes, we go in and we teach the Bible 1 hour a week for 7 weeks, the entirety of the Bible, which is an incredible opportunity that we have. What we're asking is, if you're able to volunteer for the Christmas one, please come speak to me or Jane, and we'll get you signed up for that. And if you can be praying for us as we go in and do these amazing things, that would be incredible. We do the stuff like our children's talks that we've been doing. That's some of the stuff that we do. And if you think, oh, do you know what? I can do something like that. I can play a game with the kids. Come speak to us. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you for your time. Let's sing together. It's hymn 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Micah, Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and this can be found on page 932 of the Pew Bible or followed on the overhead projector behind me. Micah chapter 4 at verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. And our New Testament reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, reading from verses 17 to 21. And this can be found on page 1180 of the Pew Bible, or again followed on the overhead. Philippians 3, at verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. And may God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word. We will now continue our worship by singing hymn 470, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we reflect from your word today, we ask for hearts that are open and spirits that are willing. Shine your light on these scriptures that we might see clearly what it means to live as citizens of heaven in a world that pulls us in so many other directions. Just as Micah painted a vision of peace and Paul reminded the Philippians of their true identity, help us to grasp the deep truths in these passages. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning again, church. Good morning. Today, we are talking about living on earth as citizens of heaven. And let me tell you, it is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, have you ever tried to keep a heavenly mindset while stuck in traffic? Or while hunting down the last parking spot at Tesco? Let us just say sometimes my heavenly patience feels a bit more like earthly frustrations. Or how about this? I read somewhere that on average, people spend about 2 years of their life waiting at red lights. 2 years. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think the real test of my citizenship in heaven is right there, sitting at that light, watching it turn red just as I approach. And in those moments, I'm not exactly praying, "Thy kingdom come." It is more like, "Thy light turn green, Lord, right now." Dear friends, I think it is safe to say that while we are waiting for that heavenly peace and perfection, life here on earth is full of all kinds of daily tests. And that is what today's message is all about, learning how to live in the here and now with the mindset of heaven. Micah's vision of a world at peace and Paul's call to live as citizens of heaven remind us that we have a bigger hope and purpose even when the world around us is not cooperating, especially when the world is not cooperating. In his book, The Death of Christian Britain, Callum G. Brown presents a striking thesis. He argues that Britain's identity as a Christian nation was not gradually eroded by secular thought over centuries, but rather it collapsed swiftly in the late 20th century. Brown points out that this shift wasn't simply about declining church attendance, it was about a deep cultural transformation. Faith, which had once shaped the fabric of British life, was increasingly relegated to the margins. People stopped viewing themselves as part of a Christian story, and as a result, Christian values, narratives, and identity began to fade from public life. As we reflect on the text from Micah and Philippians, Brown's observations offer a timely lens. Both Micah and Paul address communities where God's people are called to live as distinct citizens of a different kingdom, God's kingdom, in a world that does not always align with their faith. For Micah, this meant painting a vision of a future where God's peace would be so transformative that nations would beat their swords into plowshares. This image was not simply about ending war, but about reshaping a broken world into one marked by justice and divine wisdom. Similarly, Paul, writing to a small church in Philippi, surrounded by pressures to conform, reminded them that their citizenship is in heaven. For early Christians, this was a radical call to live according to values that set them apart from the culture around them. My dear Christian friends, dear Newportonians, living on earth with a heavenly perspective calls us to live as citizens of a kingdom that is not yet fully visible, but is deeply present in our actions. Micah's vision of peace and Paul's call to heavenly citizenship remind us that our lives are not defined by the values of this world, but by a higher calling, a life of justice, compassion, and hope. We are to be bearers of God's peace, agents of his justice, and reflections of his love in a world that often pulls us towards self-interest and earthly pursuits. Let me share a story that might help illustrate this point. There was a man named Jacob who worked as a carpenter in a busy city. Jacob was a skilled craftsman, and his work was well known. Yet he was often troubled by the cutthroat nature of his industry, where people prioritized profits over relationships, and success often meant leaving others behind. One evening, Jacob came across an old, thoughtful book on meaningful work and relationships. One passage resonated deeply with him. It spoke of finding fulfillment not just in what you create, but in how you connect with others through your work. This advice stirred something within him. He realized that he could use his skills to build more than just furniture. He could build a community grounded in trust and respect. From that day forward, he resolved to do his work differently. He wouldn't just focus on his craft. He would invest in relationships, making his workshop a place of encouragement and support. When a young apprentice joined his workshop, Jacob taught him not only how to carve wood, but also how to conduct business with integrity. He paid his workers fairly, even when it meant less profit. He offered encouragement, especially to those who were struggling, and made his workshop a place where people felt valued. One day his apprentice asked, "Why do you do all this, Jacob? You could be so much more successful if you cut a few corners or pushed for bigger deals." Jacob smiled and replied, "I am building more than furniture. I am building a vision of heaven on earth. I live not just for this life, but for the one to come, where justice and peace will reign. Until then, I will try to bring a little piece of that kingdom here." Now let me ask you, friend, would you bring a little bit of God's kingdom here? As we go into this new week, let us carry the light of Christ with renewed joy and boldness, remembering the words from Matthew 5:13-16. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be salt and light, to stand out and to make a difference in this world. Just like Jacob in the story, who chose integrity and kindness over profit and comfort, we too are building something much greater than just a life for ourselves. We are building a glimpse of heaven here on earth. Imagine what our world could look like if each of us truly embraced our identity as citizens of God's kingdom. Picture communities marked by compassion, workplaces filled with integrity, families that mirror God's love. By living out our faith authentically, we shine brightly, bringing warmth and hope to those around us. When we choose kindness over criticism, generosity over greed, and patience over anger, we are living as Christ's ambassadors, bringing his peace and justice into the everyday. So this week, wherever you find yourself, in the office, at school, in the university, in the hospital, in your family, remember that you are not alone. You are part of a community that is called to be salt and light in a world that so often feels dark and divided. Let us embrace this calling with joy, knowing that every small act of love and every step of faith is part of God's larger redemptive story. May we live boldly, love deeply, and reflect the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the hope of peace in Micah's vision, and for the call to heavenly citizenship in Paul's letter. Help us, Lord, to live in humility, reflecting your peace and love in all we do. May we resist the temptations of earthly success that can lead us away from you. And may we, like the prophet, seek to walk in your ways and with hearts devoted to you, lead us to be faithful citizens of your kingdom, standing firm until the day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me now invite you to rejoice with me because the Lord is King, hymn 449.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, our hearts are full of gratitude for the gift of this day and for the promise of your presence in our lives. Thank you for the teachings of Micah and Paul, reminding us of our heavenly citizenship and the peace we are called to bring into this world. Lord, we are humbled to know that even amid our daily frustrations and struggles, you call us to reflect your kingdom of peace, justice, and love. May our gratitude be the foundation on which we stand, building lives that honor you. Lord, we lift before you our leaders and all those in positions of authority. As the prophet envisioned a world where swords are turned into plowshares, we too pray for a world free from the conflicts that divide us. Guide our leaders in the ways of wisdom, integrity, and compassion, that they may serve with justice and humility. Where there is discord, bring your peace. Where there is hatred, bring your love. May our communities and nations reflect the values of your kingdom. Merciful God, we know that life on earth can be trying, and we bring before you all who are facing frustration and hardship. For those who feel weary and discouraged, renew their strength. For those who feel overlooked or forgotten, remind them of your deep love. Help each of us to see beyond our struggles and find purpose, knowing that you are shaping us to be citizens of heaven. Give us the courage to meet each challenge with faith and patience, leaning on your grace. Healing Lord, we remember all those in need of your healing touch. For the sick, the struggling, and those who carry burdens they feel too heavy to bear, we ask for your comfort and peace. Surround them with your presence, ease their pain, and fill their hearts with hope. We pray also for those who care for the suffering, that you would give them strength and compassion. May our words and actions bring comfort and encouragement as we seek to be vessels of your healing love. God of compassion, we lift up to you those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Wrap them in your comforting arms and give them the assurance that in you there is no end. For those nearing the end of their journey on earth, may they find peace in the promise of eternal life. Surround their loved ones with your love, giving them the courage to say goodbye and the hope of being reunited in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we pray for a world that increasingly drifts from the values of your kingdom. In places of injustice, bring justice. In times of fear, grant courage. And where there is loneliness, bring companionship. May each of us be salt and light, standing for your truth in our daily lives. Let us be like Jacob in the story, seeking to create spaces of encouragement, kindness, and integrity in our work, homes, and communities. We thank you, O God, for our lives and for this offering. Use us and use this to further the work of your kingdom. Give us the strength to rise above the temptations of earthly pursuits and to focus on the calling you have placed upon us. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Our final hymn is Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. It's hymn number 543. Watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.